Morning, Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Oh, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Sister, lawyer with Murrowa Law, that's Michaela French. And we're talking First Nations fake art after the Productivity Commission and the draft report on the line. Michaela, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. I'm well, thank you. How are you going?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
All right. So my name's Michaela French. I'm a proud Torres Strait Islander woman and working as a solicitor at Murrowa Law.
All right, fantastic. So being a lawyer with Murrowa Law, how long have you been in the firm?
I've been in the firm for 3 years and practicing law for about 2 now.
All right, beautiful, fantastic. Look, a very important conversation, talking First Nations fake art. So give us an introductory to the report, the commission and draft report.
Yeah, no worries. So Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art is, you know, how we tell our mob stories and how we pass in our culture for generations to come. Due to the significance of our art and our history, we need to ensure that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists and their artwork is protected. So research shows that between 2019 and 2020, the sale of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art was worth $250 million. Mm. However, our artists have only received a small fraction of this profit. And this has come from the Productivity Commission report, which came out last month. And they found that 1 in 3 Indigenous artworks is actually produced by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So this brings the question of, you know, if it's not coming to us, then who is purchasing our art and who's selling it?
Exactly. So what is the Productivity Commission and the draft report?
The Productivity Commission is the Australian government's independent research and advisory body. And they provide advice on a range of issues affecting the welfare of Australians. So their role is to simply help the government make better policies for the community. So the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Visual Arts and Crafts draft report was released last month on the 19th of July. And they examined the value, nature and structure of markets for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander arts and crafts and made some draft recommendations to the Australian government. So lost revenue from this major income stream has had a harmful effect on everything from self-determination and cultural maintenance for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families and our communities.
So what are the current issues with selling Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art and the impact on artists?
So Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists are currently experiencing the following issues. So for example, inauthentic and misappropriation of our art and craft being sold, cultural theft, which exploits the stories, imagery and heritage embodied in our arts and works, and ethical businesses who are trying to do their best and ethically sell authentic Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art are losing out on economic and commercial opportunities too. So that brings us to art centres and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community-controlled enterprises provide economic, social and cultural benefits to communities and can often be the artist's only source of independent income. Mm. So the reproduction of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art by non-Indigenous people and companies prevents income from reaching our communities and also our artists. So being silent and buying these inauthentic products undercuts legitimate artists and devalues genuine or Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural expression in our artworks and also our rights. So this cultural theft also robs Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists of income and business opportunities while also misleading consumers who want to do the right thing.
Yeah. So how about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artworks currently protected by the law?
So while individual artists are protected by copyright, Australia does not currently have a law that prevents alterations or misuse of our traditional symbols, art and stories. You might have heard the term Indigenous cultural and intellectual property before, and it's commonly referred to as ICIP. So this is the rights Indigenous people have and want to have to protect their traditional arts and culture. So the idea of ISIP is based on the principle of self-determination, and it aims to ensure that traditional laws and customary obligations are respected, especially when money is made from our mob's intellectual property. So while the law currently remains limited in protecting ISIP, protocols provide the best alternative to ensure that ISIP is valued and defended. So the Australian Council for the Arts Protocols for using First Nations has been created to protect Indigenous cultural intellectual property. This protocol sets out the legal, ethical and moral considerations for the use of Indigenous cultural material in our arts and cultural projects. So we recommend that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists develop an ISIP protocol or enter into written agreements with the buyer. And Murrawa law in the past has helped artists negotiate copyright licensing agreements, confidential agreements, and purchase of artwork agreements to ensure that artists' cultural and traditional knowledge is protected.
So what are the recommendations being proposed in the Productivity Commission draft report, Michaela?
Yeah, so the Productivity Commission has recommended that a mandatory warning label be on all inauthentic products to help consumers focus on authentic Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander arts and crafts. They have also recommended that there be a new law that will give traditional owners greater control over how cultural assets are used in visual arts and crafts. The final recommendation was that an evaluation of all support programs and an increase in funding should be added to strengthen the Indigenous Art Code, which is currently used. So for those that may not be familiar with the Indigenous Art Code, it is a code that provides clear standards for dealings between dealers and Aboriginal and Torres Strait artists to make sure that it's fair and ethical trade in artwork, that there's transparency in the process of the promotion and sale of the artwork, and that disputes arising under the Indigenous Art Code are dealt with efficiently and fairly. So we hope that the recommendations from the Productivity Commission can be put into action and that we might see a more positive outcome. And we want our people and communities getting the support that they deserve and for our stories to stay authentic to our culture and to our tradition.
Yeah, true that. How should consumers buy ethical and authentic Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art?
Yeah, so the Indigenous Art Code has six strategies to help others buy authentic Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander art. So the first thing is look for the Indigenous Art Code. So it's a little logo that usually comes with your purchase of artwork. So keep an eye out for that. Do your research, do a Google search, learn more about who you're buying the art from or the art gallery. The other thing is to ask lots of questions, and it can be just a small question like, who is the artist, where's the painting from, how much did the artist get paid, and find out that information. Other things to look for is warning signs of unethical practices, so that could be in the art gallery, and to also use your own instincts. So there's never 100% guarantee of authenticity or ethical practice, so always use your intuition, and if you get a bit of an uneasy feeling once you're at the gallery or buying some art, then it might be a sign to perhaps walk away and maybe not purchase that particular artwork.
Look, exactly. Look, we are all in this together. We need to support our artists and protect our culture. So thank you very much for sharing, and fantastic that the report has come through and gives a strong foundation for protecting First Nation people's arts. Before we let you go, Michaela, who's Murrawa Law?
So Murrawa Law is the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm that specialises in commercial and Indigenous land law. So if you need any legal advice, you can call us on 4041-3088.
Thank you very much. Beautiful sharing with us. And you take care, my sister. All the best. Big shout out to Leah Cameron, the principal solicitor there at Murrawa Law. And we'll talk soon, sis.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Trev.
Bye,
Dar. Bye.
Beautiful yarn there, Michaela French. And she's a lawyer there with Murrawa Law. And our topic there, First Nations fake art, too deadly. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black?
you from my brother. I come from there, from another side. Me you call a Kungai, from Yoruba where my people reside. Into 500 different tribes whom the white man tried to conquer when he first come here to the Bahia. You may call it divide and conquer, hey, but no more, you've let a lie. This land belongs to a Zabo. But I say, hey, where you from, my brother? I come from there, not that aside. Me you call a Kungai, Kungai from Yoruba where my people reside. Where you from, my brother?
To Dilly, where you from, my brother? BC, Barry Cedric, big shout out, my brother. Hope you're well, and a very good morning, Yoruba. Hope you're well. Got some good news regarding the Seahawks back in the CDRL comp. Don't know the full capacity or what went on there, but they're back, which is fantastic. And look, keen to have a yarn with somebody from Yarra, just talk about that situation. And it's about representing. That's what it's all about. And being the CDRL champions as of last year. It's good to see that they're still at the table there. Had a daily yarn with Sister Kay, Kay Zaro, Nee Savage, being a taxi driver. I think I've got her on the line now. Kay, you there? No, you're not there. Kay, which way? I was talking to Kay. She caught me at the tail end of the conversations yesterday here on National Talk Black, and she's ringing in to talk about her space, the job that she's doing, new job, driving taxis, and they're screaming out for more taxi drivers and First Nation ones at that. So great to see the beautiful TSI girl operating in that space, and we'll try and get her on the line and talk about that deadly space. But this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarning with the bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Disease Radio Service. We'll try again with Kay. Kay, you there? Good morning.
Yes, good morning. How are you going?
You're good. Are you driving, are you?
I am driving hands-free.
Hands-free, yes. So you called yesterday. So what, a week in the job?
Yeah, just over a week in the job and enjoying it, yeah.
Enjoying it. Good, good, good. So they have their own vehicles, don't they? So you're not like an Uber driver?
No. We use their vehicles, their petrol.
Yes.
And we just do like what normal taxis do. We do the pickups as well, like for food.
Okay. Uber like Uber drop-off, food drop-offs, eh?
Yep. Okay. Yep, we do that as well.
Good. Now, you're saying, sister, they're screaming out for more drivers as well, and First Nation at that.
There is, yeah. We'd like to certainly see some more indigenous drivers out here.
Good.
They've got lots of cows, but not too many drivers.
Okay.
So it's really good to get out there and pick up our mob and have a yarn. And
yes,
catch
black
up,
on black,
know,
black on black.
That's right. And see them get, you know, to where they want to go. So, yeah.
Exactly. So tell us your process, how you went about it. Was there an ad in the paper or did someone contact you? And tell us what qualifications you need. Talk to us.
You cut out.
Oh, sorry. So I was asking you your process. What did you do to get the job and what qualifications do you need? Can you enlighten us, please? Kay, where are you?
Where is he?
Kay, you there? Can you hear me, Kay? Yes.
Yeah, what happened?
No, in and out. I don't know. So your driver must be going through a bad area. I was asking, can you share with the listeners your process in getting a job? What qualifications do you need and how you went about it, please?
Yeah, so I saw the ad on Facebook. And I thought, well, I'll just give it a go and, you know,
yes.
See how it goes. So I just rang the number, spoke to Cheryl, the boss there, and she said, make sure you've got an open license, make sure you're over 25. You have to apply for a driver's authority, which costs about $140, I think, from Department of Transport.
Okay, and you pay that yourself, do you?
A medical done, which costs $88 as well.
Okay.
Under Medicare, you have to pay for that and you claim it back on your tax.
Yep.
And those two things in the blue card's handy too, because they do a lot of school pickups as well.
Okay, blue card. Right, thank you.
That
yep.
was basically it. I did probably 3 hours in a vehicle with one of the guys that was been terminal for a while.
Yes.
And then I had the boss for an hour, and then I just went myself. Yeah.
Too deadly. And so, what was it like? A rotating rosters, morning shifts and night shifts.
Again. Oh my God.
I lost you, have I? Okay.
Okay, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, maybe nah.
We'll contact you, but pull over. That's Kay Zaro, and look, very excited. First Nation Torres Strait Island woman, working now with taxis, and she's just explaining the process. They're screaming out for more First Nation drivers. So for you mob out there, what I just picked up there with what Kay was saying, $140 to get your authorization to become a driver, and also $88 I think it was for first aid, and also need a blue card. So you don't need to be like a grade 12 student as such. You've got to be over 25. And the job opportunities, I always say there's always jobs out there. Yeah, seek and you'll find. And wherever you start out in the marketplace, don't mean you have to stay there. So if you're not happy in the job that you're doing, as long as you've got money coming in, but while you're doing that job, you can look elsewhere to the better job. But when you're getting paid to something you love doing, then that's the best job in the world. And Kay Zaro, she's enjoying that. Have you say Yarn Up Song, add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
You're always speaking, but I never hear what you say. Can you replay? I'm in my feelings. Am I miscommunicating? I hate this. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about life. Talk about change. Talk about us. Talk about fights. Talk about things nobody does. Translate.
Let's talk about life. Let's talk about change. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about fights. Let's talk about things and what he does. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about life. Talk about change. Talk about.
Troy Cassidale here, you're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it like you stole it, son, drive it.
Again, out of sight, you're back again. It is what you make it, so to me the perfect accident. Personality, nah, she ain't lacking it. Beat me to the punchline, either that or she packing it. We let her guards down, round one. Round two, round three, I think I found one. In a hopeless place, I think I found love. Cupid must have found us, because she's all that I need. Yeah, Kaguri need, Jenna Mir. All that I need, yeah, Kaguri need, Jenna Mir. My mind.
Every single step at a time.
At a time.
Girl, you know I be. Holla at me. Or did I see? Holla at. Girl, you know you're blowing my mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold up. Daydreaming on a daily when she's not around. Home is where the heart is. Best for life, she hold it down. She got me texting emojis and X and O's. Watching reality shows like who's next to go. When it comes to slaying the dress professional. Fashion killer, lover, prowess. Me and her together, that's progress for sure. I can't wait till we progress some more. Because she's all that I need. Yeah, Kaguri need, Jenna Mir. All that I need. Yeah, Kaguri need, Jenna Mir. My mind.
Every single step at a time.
At a time.
Girl, you know I bleed. Holla at me. Or did I see?
Holla at.
Girl, you know you're blowing my mind.
Hey, yo, I got to tell ya. Gotta got the no-no. In the moonlight. Like this.
Like that.
Like this.
Like that.
You got to know that.
You got to know that.
It never felt so good.
Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 2012 Murray from the Curry, coming live from First National Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. Now, Australian researchers developed a new communication system inspired by rare Northern Territory Aboriginal language, Jingaloo. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Hussein Abbas, and he's the lead researcher of the University of New South Wales in Canberra. Hussein, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Quite good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking about the development of a new communication system inspired by rare Northern Territory Aboriginal language, Jingaloo. So please enlighten us how Aboriginal language has inspired the communication system.
We've been looking for a while now at how we can get the human to communicate to artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can imagine, the artificial intelligence is not as clever as the human of today.
Yes.
And the language between the human and the AI need to be designed with simplicity, but also it needs to deliver on what the AI is designed to do.
Mm.
So to find a language with a particular set of characteristics that match the simplicity while also deliver on the outcome for the AI has been really a challenge.
Mm.
When we encountered Jingaloo, we found that it actually has magnificent features that will enable us to achieve our objective.
So tell us about maybe one of the most powerful things with Jingaloo is that it gives us the simplicity and flexibility is what I'm picking up here communication, on the research.
Absolutely. Jingaloo is so special in lots of different things, but I will only focus on one, which is which is quite critical for our context, and that it only has three verbs. So the three verbs to do, to go, mm-hmm. to come. So it only has
Go, come and do.
Yes, exactly.
Three words,
so
yes.
Imagine that. So you can learn the language in no time.
Yeah.
But it's very tricky. So,
well, when you look at those three words, go, come and do, and then you look at the English language, it's very colourful in that sense. They say an English language is one of the hardest languages to learn, but when you look at three common words in the Jingaloo language, go, come and do, all communications are up front, you could say.
Absolutely. So it makes the communication objective as well.
Yes.
And it makes the syntax of the language, the structure of the language, easier to communicate. But the meaning is attached to these three verbs. So it is still can still deliver rich meaning, but the meaning is separated from the syntax, and that is extremely powerful.
So, Hussein, regarding the research, and then you're talking about the Northern Territory Aboriginal language, Jingaloo, are you looking at putting Jingaloo into the context of communication across the globe, if not Australia? Are you?
We are taking the features in Jingaloo to design our communication system, and that will open opportunities everywhere.
Yes, okay. So, look, fantastic research, and it's great to have First Nation language at the table, front and centre. When you talk about 60,000 years of communication, they've got to have a knack about communicating.
Absolutely, and just imagine how excited we are. You know,
exactly.
We are taking something sitting at the core of our Australian culture and making it extremely useful to lots of people in the world and in lots of different applications. So
yes.
It's really exciting.
Oh, fantastic. So be watching this very closely with the research. When you come out with the end product, so to speak, where do you take this information? What will you do with it, Hussein?
We have a number of applications that we are looking at. Our immediate one is in the agriculture,
mm-hmm.
and using the Jingaloo syntax to inspire communication between farmers and potential artificial intelligence system on the farm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for communicating with me. I'm going to go. We'll come together soon. And you do what you've got to do. Go, come and do.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Trevor.
Hassan, all the best to you. Thank you very much. You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Have a lovely day.
A beautiful yarn conversation there. Hussein Abbas, and he's the lead researcher of University of New South Wales in Canberra, and talking about how the Australian researchers developed new communication system inspired by rare Northern Territory Aboriginal language, Jingaloo. And they use three common words in their language. The mob there were NT, go, come and do. And that operates the communication open for all yarns. So they look very powerful. And it's great that universities are looking at First Nation language in regard to communication and different industries. Fantastic. How deadly are we? Have your saying yarn up strong? You can go here and have a yarn, or you can come back later, or do what you need to do. They're the three words that I picked up in that conversation. So, look, to Deadly Mob, stay tuned. I'm BBM 98.7 FM, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, beautiful track there, My Kind of Life, Yothi Yindi. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your saying yarn up strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with a bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumper Rib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Going to catch up a yarn with Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor.
How are you, brother?
Glad to have this opportunity and follow on to Mullawalua, because I'm in that grey area of art where I'm now, because Donna, over 2 years ago,
yes,
great artist, finished, and I'm left in control of a huge collection.
Yes, yes, yes. First Nations fake art is the topic you're talking about. I had a yarn earlier with Michaela French from Mullawalua. That's what you're talking about, yeah?
Okay. I really like to add on, and there's an art in everything, and plain English. Yeah. You know, so the last thing is plain English. It's the struggling artist story.
Yes.
And I saw Lydia Thorp on the TV last night. I'm glad to get her name right now. I can hear properly.
Mm.
She said about how white people, you know, if they die or something, there's something made, a film or thing, but black people, it doesn't happen. This is especially true with my wife, Donna Gibbs Gert, before story, as an artist whose art gallery was attacked up in Mount Molloy. And we were doing self-determination, economic independence, and we got driven out, and we ended up on the road to Canberra protesting for, because it was covered up. And she painted on the road, and then we rented places, and we got moved on. They were rented out, and then we worked on the street, and the police moved us on. But all the time she painted in the dark. And it was done under great difficulty, and it was only done not for the money to make big profit, but to fund the politics.
Mm.
It was a non... And so to help other struggling artists, I want to say that what we'd say, even if it was a mobile on the road or in a house, it's a cottage industry. It's at home. You've been to my place. You've seen the richness.
It all operates from a garage or from the spare room, but under the mango tree in the backyard, but it is still a workplace.
Exactly, and this is where I'm coming to. Under the Workplace Health and Safety Act, most artists should get a certificate of registration of an industrial workplace, which I've got in the name of Adingy Art Australia, and that's spelled with an A-D. That's me and her initials, Anthony and Donna, enjoy. Yes. There's a lot of meanings in art and everything in art. But to protect yourself, you have to get register yourself, even at home, if you are an industrial...
A business entity as such.
Authenticity. And we've got to the point where it's specialised work and everybody's getting $26 an hour. And I sold one or two things and people won't get anything unless they pay $20 an hour. And this is Murray. But I don't want to sell the art because she designed it all to be housed on the land in Goldsborough Valley.
Sure.
The land. And I've kept it in storage for years on Mulgrave Road there in Cairns. And it's been, we've been up and down to Canberra on the land and paid storage. And it's cost a fortune to caretake it because I've been a caretaker on it. I'm caretaking it. And I have we have no children. The tribe, I'm sorry for the family. We've lost Donna's eldest sister a couple of weeks ago. She was buried. Let's mention that. So we don't have a future, and I've got all this art, and I can't leave it to anybody because people I did want to leave it to, their partners have got coercive control over them and all kinds of difficulties, and it would cause fighting and here and there. And I just keep it together.
So it's under your care. What do you think Donna would want, where would Donna want the art to be?
On her country.
On her country, okay, right. Thank you.
Well, I've got her memorial here that I'm getting made on these things. It's got to be carved out yet. I've got a car broken down. I can't finish the cemetery. That's what I'm doing. On her memorial that I'm writing, it's got no justice for work, land, or health. Let me get back to what Lydia Thorp said. But basically, Lydia Thorp, I saw her on TV. I know I'm talking to her about. And when people are murdered, she... It's an unnecessary, and it's a prime example of a great activist, a great artist, and all her work is here unknown, and it's a national treasure, and it is a treasure. And I'm really...
So what's the plan? You don't have a plan as such, then, the way you want to leave the artwork?
I'm shipwrecked at home, and you're a message in the bottle, and the whole nation, there's an atrocity going on in this small town. They've got the pyramid disgrace going on, running all over the Sacred Mountain this weekend. I'll just say that, mate, because there's no rights for Murray. We're in the deep north, you know, deep south in America, deep north, and the attitudes and of Queensland and all this art. And when you have a big collection, and it's very fine art because it was done on the road in difficult conditions, and I've collected it, and you just sell that little bit you need to get petrol money to get to Canberra or get home or over the truck or generate on the land and maintain the camp. And it's not done for money, it's done for the love of it, and it is all a diary of everything. Donna's work is mostly like, I gave you some limited edition prints.
Sure.
And most of them I've given away, some that I saw in Goodwill around the thing. And the place, it's good. They don't cost me much, and so, but I'm still working for her. When she was working, people used to say, oh, you know, that's too much. And she'd say, talk to the manager. Money was not her thing.
Yeah, sure.
She wasn't a giant harp of her art. It's just done to preserve that knowledge. And I'm sitting on it all here. Anything happened to me, the Green Ants are going to come and be my undertakers. And I haven't finished the cemetery. My car's broken down. And I've got all this wealth that I'm trying to preserve for the whole nation.
Do we have an art centre in Gordonville? I'm just trying to think off the top of my head.
As far as I'm concerned, I'm it, but I'm a houser, you know. You know, I'm really happy. I've got this cave. You've been in it, and it's a decent little place. And
sure. But in regard to leaving the artwork, is there like an art centre there at Gordonville?
I can't do it. No, there's nothing here. There's there's a corporation office in town here, but they belong to Goldsborough, and there's a lot of disputes here with local traditional owners. No one here got nothing. You've got the whole rainforest tribe, and this art was designed so we could have business, and they'd come there and they'd see, oh, yeah, there's a bush turkey nest here on the painting. Yeah, them boys will take you to see one, a real one.
I'm just thinking, have you reached out to Yumi Arts here in Cairns?
Eh?
Sorry, I'm just thinking, have you reached out to Yumi Arts here in Cairns?
No, because this is the whole thing, is all these people that Mother will all claim, they take the money. You have to sell it directly yourself. And then
I'm talking about having a conversation with them and not talking about selling, but talking about showcasing. I'm talking about her story being told through like a art centre like Yumi Arts.
I'd like the National Gallery to do it. They photograph it down in...
But I'm talking about on country, you know. You mentioned that you like to, Donna would like to have the artwork on country. So the art gallery, National Gallery, is not on country, well, her country.
There's no native title in Goldsborough, and I'm basically disconnected from the tribe, and it's gone off like an hand grenade. There's people all over the place, and I haven't lost my spiritual and all what's inside me. I'm not a grey area, but that's how I'm treated. And a lot of people can get grants and things and stuff, and it's all, but I can't do it because I'm a grey area, you know. I'm not a Murray. I can say, yeah, I live and identify with the people and all the problems and troubles and the whole lot, and I'm absorbed into it. But I'm the one sitting on it, and that's why I like going down to the Green Patch, which is still shut, and even the coppers were leaving me alone down there because I was putting on art for people and still this and tell the people, well, we've got no land to put it on. That's why I'm working in a car park just to fund the cemetery, you know. And so struggling artists, I've got a gearbox and it's, I don't know if that's wrong or it's the linkage and they want 1,500. And I'm on the bus.
Well, Donna's artwork is in good hands. I mean, you being the husband too, Donna, First Nation artist, and you're looking after her work, you know, and hopefully you find a space for her artwork to be showcased and also her story.
Well, I have to do that myself.
Yes.
Directly and sell what I can now to get mobile, to finish the cemetery. And when people see me, I've been accused, oh, you shouldn't be doing that, you know. People don't understand.
Yeah, but you're legit. Your wife is the artist and a First Nation woman, and you got her material.
Yeah, I just have to follow on that I'm an exception to a lot of rules.
And yeah, exactly.
It was strange for me to be doing that because basically I was the roadie, you know.
Yeah, but your heart and spirit's in the right place, and, of course, your connection to your beautiful wife, First Nation artist. Rest my case. You've got a strong foundation there, brother.
Yeah, and the art is still here and her art lives on, but no one sees it. And that is a national disgrace. And I would really like a proper film made of it. And Trevor, one more time, I have a mint condition, a mint a mint-conditioned cassette of Donna talking in New South Wales. Mm. I would love everybody to hear her. Mm. I've got the original cassette from Byron Radio. They broadcast her all over New South Wales on that last trip to Canberra.
Mm.
2 hours of woman talking in the street. You heard it and it was muffled.
Mm.
I wish we could get it played. Mm. And it's very controversial, you know.
Sure.
She was locked up in the cell after the art gallery attack up in Mount Molloy in a room on her own. We're treated like criminals, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where they put the new Captain Cook statue. Up there at Mount Molloy, they'll all be dancing around it, licking at nighttime under the moon naked or something.
There it is, James Cook. Yeah, brother. Well thank you for your yarn, my brother. I'll keep moving, but keep your spirit up, my friend.
Yeah, well, I just wanted that story out that I'm not a con man, you know.
Of course, I know that, brother. Thank you, Tony Gibbs. That's Tony Gibbs and regular caller here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn Up Strong here on your First Nation radio station, Bummer Bripper Media, 98.7 FM. And the program is National Talk Black, going across the country. Thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. We've got someone on. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Teary eyed and choke up, brother. But I want to say thank you to our brother, Archie Wilkie, brother.
Yes.
Yeah. All those babies in Canada, your brother.
Yeah.
He went over there, and I want to say the F word song resonated with the Canadian people, brother. So, you know, took the children away, that resonated. He was over there. And there was another documentary done, I think, in the Land of Little Kings or something. And he was a narrator, he spoke on it. And he went around Australia and up to the Kimberley. This fella. Murray fella from down south, he was up to see, and he come back, he was adopted out to white families down south. And in the story of that adopted bloke in the documentary with Brother Archie Rose, in the documentary, he's driving the car, brother, and all the Murray's in the back.
Yeah.
The Murray's in the back, and the brother that got adopted out, he sweared to Miss, I think, Kirky or something on the road, Guano or something, he sweared. And he driving, he said, they were could hear them, you know, before that happened.
Mm.
And he was wondering why they were quiet. Hey, what's the matter with them? Murray must be thinking they were quiet.
Mm.
But they're quiet because it's where to Miss Woodstock. He should run over the Woodstock road.
Exactly.
Anyway, brother, that first song you played of was Bobby McLeod, brother. I drank monkey blood with him, brother. And I met him up in Darwin after that thing happened in Canberra, speaking. A shorthand what happened in Canberra. I think if brother there, Tony, I think he'd be clue you on what happened out in Canberra. A fat cat standard. But anyway, then the Diamond Oval, I think, there was a mob off that used to go to the public toilet and you could hear us slapping our clothes on the concrete and putting it in the mouth and wringing it out and walking clothesline, brother. The clothes that that's the only clothes we had. Same way, Marlin Walk, we used to go to the Marlin Walk, hot and cold, and the railway station for hot and cold shower. And when he said, using your finger like a comb, brother, I identify with that, brother.
Yes.
But one of the things about him, brother, two things I like about him. One, he didn't say, I didn't hear him yet say, if I can do it, you can do it. I never hear him say that because I think you sort of think that a lot of our mob. We've been through the mill, up the mill, down the mill, and we've been preached by expert. I don't think we need that preaching. And one of the other things I like about him, brother, you know, a lot of successful black fellows, you say behind every black man is a woman. There's a lot of black fellows behind some of them now is a white woman, brother.
Mm.
But he had a married woman all along. And people like him and brother Bobby McLeod, Kevin Gilbert, and the Chick Dixon, brother, they look about fellows, you know. I think he looked about up here around in Coranda. I'm sure he used to look around up there. But them fellows, I guess, reckon, brother, like first impact people, black fellows down south, they're first impact people. And I think of brother Chick Dixon, like the brother Barry Civic song, you know, where you from, my brother. That's the first thing Chick Dixon said to me. And Chica, I like to tell the story, share the story, and everybody, I think they should know. It was always, when he was in the garage, he was always getting escorted out from a little town by the police. But they had a state funeral for him, and he steadily, brother, he had a police escort, you know, for a state funeral, brother. And for brother, he wrote, Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, brother. That's my tribute to him, brother. Thank you.
No, thank you, Sullivan. Thank you. Yeah, like I said, in thoughts and prayers, are going out to the Roach family, and someone there talking about the passing of Uncle Archie Roach, but his music still lives on, his story lives on, and very strong in that sense. Well, it's come the time where Trendy Trev signs off for today, you mob. I'm back in the hot seat again next week, Monday, and the daily number here is 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black, 1 hour program. It is your program. I'm just steering the ship and glad to do so. But thank you very much. You mob, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, and we'll be yonder soon. Too deadly.